Hey everyone, welcome to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. My name is Rina, otherwise known as Mummy Imperfect, and I would just like to give you a warm welcome to series two of the podcast. Now, in series two, I'm going to be focusing a lot about motherhood, about becoming a mom from right from like conception, starting at the beginning, not like how to do it, but you know, when is the right time to have a baby. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on in this episode. And in subsequent episode, I'm going to be talking about pregnancy, birth, you know, coping with small kids and that kind of thing. Also, I'll just be bringing you some news stories from the week. I'm putting my Mommy Imperfect spin on them as well. But first of all, how are you? It's been a while. I have had a break from this podcast because we moved house. It was quite a big move, actually. I'm drinking a coffee as I'm recording this. I'm so tired, honestly, because I'm like, my little daughter, who's 3 years old, she keeps waking up every night. And I don't actually remember when she's had a night where she slept the whole night. Actually, I think it's happened about two times since we moved house. And before we moved house, she was sleeping in a cot right next to my face. And even then, she would climb out of that cot and get into the bed with me and my husband, you know. Now, she's walking out of her room, down the hallway and into our room to get into our bed. Now, she's bigger. She's big for her age. She's three. She's kicking us in the head, in the back. We can't get to sleep properly. So me and my husband are just literally dead. But yeah, just so tired. Also, we found out that she has shoplifted. So this morning, right, we found out that she actually stole a Cadbury's cream egg from Tesco. Yeah, 3 years old. 3 years old and stealing. Because the thing is, yesterday she was walking around with this Cadbury's cream egg wrapper, eating a bit of chocolate off it. And I was like blaming my husband, saying, why do you keep leaving chocolates around? My husband loves chocolates and sweets and stuff. And saying, oh my God, can't you just keep your stuff? If you're going to bring this into the house, keep it out of the reach of the children. And he was like, it's not me. And then this morning, I said, oh, you're getting a bit of sore throat, to my youngest daughter, because her voice was a bit hoarse. And then she was like, yeah, I think it's because I ate too many sweets. And I was like, what? Sweets? Okay. Then she said, yeah, I'm really sorry. I took a chocolate from Tesco. And I was like, what? And then it clicked. Okay, it was a Cadbury's cream egg. And then we talked about it. And I kind of, don't judge me, I kind of thought it was quite funny, really. But obviously, I'm not saying, you know, carry on stealing. And then my middle daughter was there. And then she was like, oh, that's so bad. Why did you do that? My middle daughter's nine. And then she was like, right, well, you have to, you know, you've got to go and pay for it now. Because that's what they did in Bing. Bing, if you're not familiar, is a CBeebies program. And then my husband came in going, yeah, you've just got to go and pay for this now. I mean, I don't think I would have actually done that. But my husband, very sensible guy, he's like, no, you've got to go to the shop now and say, I'm sorry about that. Pay for that Cadbury's cream egg. So I had to take her this morning to Tesco on the advice of my husband and middle daughter, and said, look, my daughter took a Cadbury's cream egg yesterday. I didn't see her. Sorry about that. Say sorry, please. She said sorry, and then we paid for it. I think the guy wanted to just slap his head off, really, and he was just like, don't worry, it happens. So that was that. And I don't know why my middle daughter was acting so sensible, because she actually told me to shut up this morning when I was waking her up, and my husband overheard that, and then I didn't even need to say anything because she really got in trouble. My eldest daughter, what's going on with her? Well, last week she borrowed my one of my hoodies because she had art class. I was supposed to wear old clothes, and I mean, I've got this old Adidas hoodie. So she said, can I borrow that? I said, okay, fine, because she's big for her age. We're nearly the same size now. She's a little bit shorter than me, even though she's only 10 years old. So she wore that and took it. And then at home time, she said to me, oh, mummy, there were a pair of your pants in the pocket. And I was like, what? Then she went, yeah. And I said, okay, were they clean? And then she went, yeah, I think so. And then she said, oh, I showed them to my friends and they were laughing. And I thought, oh my God. And my first instinct was to be like, what pants were they? Were they good ones? She went, yeah, they were like the nude color ones. And I was like, oh, okay, they're not my best ones, but all right, fine. And then she went, yeah, we were all laughing. And I thought, oh my God, I don't really want to face your friends now. They've seen my pants. It's just too much of an intimate thing, you know? So then, excuse me. Then she went, oh, one of my friends went, oh, why did your mum have pants in her pocket? Did she come on her period or was it because she had sex? And I was like, what? Oh my God. I didn't say anything. I just laughed because like, what the hell is that? I mean, really, I was thinking, what? Like, come on. If I was on my period, what am I doing? Is that the spare pants or are they supposed to be my pants that I got changed out of because they're not dirty? So put it together. Obviously, I had sex, didn't I, you little sugar plum? God. So that's that. But anyway, so let me talk about moving, right? Before I get into the topic for today. I have moved from East London to Berkshire. So I came from basically, you know, inner city London, the ghettos, to suburbia. And it is quite a change. It really is. It's different. There's things I've noticing about suburbia. Like, it's cleaner. People don't wee on the streets. They pick up after their dogs. I don't smell weed the whole time when I'm on the school run. That's different. And that's good. You know, I like that. These are nice things. You know, you get more living space for your money. That's quite nice. It's more space for the kids because we were quite cramped where we were before. So that's really nice. The people are different. The people are different for sure. It's like one of my elder daughter's friends came for a play date, and when it was time for her to go, like, she'd had the best time, which was great, but then her dad came to pick her up, and he was like, you know, like, middle class white guy accountant or something. And then she was like, oh, daddy, I don't want to go. Why don't you go and just drive around for a bit and come back in half an hour? Oh, I'm just having a really good time. And the dad was like, come on now, don't make a fuss. And I was like, don't make a fuss. Oh my gosh. Obviously, she still carried on making a little bit of a fuss, but then when? And I'm thinking, if this was in East London and the kids had someone over, there nobody would be like, come on, don't make a fuss. They'd be like, get your ass down here. Come on, get in the car. What are you talking about? And now that's me. I'm that one saying that. You know, I don't say to my kids, don't make a fuss. And if I did, they probably wouldn't listen anyway. So that's different. Yeah, the people are different. I think the way people drive is different. I've noticed the way people drive is different as well. It's like, I'm still driving like I'm driving in central London, like aggressive driving. And here people, they wait. It's like, I will go through a gap that looks like it's not going to fit a car. And I'll drive the car through that. I'll go through. People are doing the horns at me like, oh my God, what are you doing? Can't you even wait? And I'm like, but there's space. I can get through. So I'm still driving like that. And people are just being really polite, waiting at roundabouts. Nobody goes because they're waiting for somebody else to go. I'm like, what is this? I haven't got time for this. Come on. Dark roads. That's another thing about driving. Oh my gosh, the roads are so dark sometimes. Like, there's where we live, it's not like real countryside because I don't think I could deal with moving to the countryside. But it's the surrounding areas are dark. They are there's like no light, and there's these country roads where you can drive at like 40-50 miles an hour. I drive at 20 miles an hour. I don't care. I can't see anything on either side of the road. There are bushes. What the hell is in those bushes? I don't even know, right? It's pitch black. I am scared out of my mind. I've got three kids in the back arguing, being silly. I'm literally clutching the steering wheel. My knuckles are white, and people are like, again, doing their horn at me, trying to overtake. And I'm like, good, you overtake. I'm not going to kill myself on this dark road. Listen, I'm from London. I'm not used to this. Everything's lit up like Christmas tree all the time. So I can't get used to that. Also with the people as well, everyone is obsessed with their kids taking the 11 plus. I mean, one of the things about moving here was the schools are really good, you know, because I mean, you're a parent, you've got to think about this thing. Obviously we have three kids, so that's a big thing. But apparently that's not good enough. And everyone's like, oh, how did your kid do in the 11 plus? How did she do in the 11 plus? I'm like, she didn't do the 11 plus. And that's a big shock horror because, you know, why are you not like getting your kid to do like hours and hours and hours of extra work to get into a grammar school? That's just a normal thing to do. It's a good thing to do, but it's not the norm. It doesn't have to be the norm, you know? I think this is a topic for another day, really, because I think it's quite a big thing to talk about like how much you push your kids and about how much the impact of kids, whether they're in private, grammar or a comprehensive school, how much impact that has on them in their life. But I'm going to leave that for another day. But yeah, that's one of the things I noticed as well. And also it's like you get more living space for your money, but some things are more expensive. It's like the kids' activities are a lot more expensive. Like there's so many activities on offer. You know, you can like teach a toddler, you can get your toddler taught Portuguese, you can get your five-year-old to learn Mandarin, you can teach, get someone to come to your house to teach them how to bake. I mean, God knows why you would not do that yourself and actually spend a bit of time with your kids, God forbid. But everything, you can get everything, right? But everything is quite expensive. It's all quite pricey. Like £8 a lesson for anything is the norm. And, you know, coming from like East London, I think things were subsidised a lot. You know, even in my kids' school, they had free school meals for the whole school and the food was good. Like it was really nice food as well. Very healthy food, very tasty food. Here, they do it like the rest of the country, where it's, I think, reception and year one or two, they get free school meals and then you've got to pay. And then what they're paying for is actual trash anyway. So I'm like, really? Yeah, and things like martial art lessons and stuff that they were doing before, it's all more expensive here. So I guess we were kind of spoiled by living somewhere where you could pay very little for things. Everything was subsidised and stuff to get people into doing activities. So there's that as well. And I guess I like this area, but I miss the realness of East London. I miss the realness of the people. And I think a lot of, you know, people with like first world problems here, middle class worries. And I'm not really into that. I'm not really playing those games and, you know, all the competition, keeping up with the Joneses and stuff. I'm just like, please, just have a Balti buff and keep it real. Really? Come on, now let's get into the main topic for today's podcast. And the podcast is the right age to have a baby. Is there a right age to have a baby? You know, what are the pros and cons of being an older mom or a younger mom? Is there a perfect age? So I actually saw a news story the other day which relates to this, and it was on the BBC News website, and the headline was "Concerns over new menopause delay procedure." So apparently experts have raised concern over a new medical procedure that claims to allow women to delay the onset of menopause by over a decade. It's about $6,000, this procedure, and they're just like starting to do it, and some women are going for this. They surgically remove a little portion of the ovaries, which is then formed into little strips and frozen, and then it can be thawed and grafted back into the body. And if the patient then wants a section of the ovary put back inside her to help have a child, that can actually be reinserted in the fallopian tube later in life. And the point of it is to slow down the menopause, you know. I guess to give people longer to have kids, to delay things like, you know, sometimes you get like problems with your bones and things like that in the menopause. I mean, the menopause is like, it doesn't sound good. Hot flushes, you know, just night flushes, day flushes, headaches. There's a lot of stuff that it's just does not sound nice. So I don't know about having this operation though. I mean, what do you guys think? Okay, you know what, I really need to go to the toilet now because I'm drinking the coffee. Obviously I've had three kids, so I'm just gonna stop this for a minute. My auntie G is here also as well, because she's staying with us for a bit, and hold on. Auntie G, can you make sure the kids don't come near here, please? Okay, let me stop this, I'll come back. Hello, hello, testing. 1 2 3 1 2 3. Hello, this is my name is Santosh. I am Rina's auntie G, came to stay with her. I see this is all going on recording. I just wanted to try, you know, I've always dreamed of doing radio, TV. Everybody said I should do it. I'm very stylish, I'm very confident with my talking and stuff. I should do it. I'm going to try now. Listen, let me see what she's been doing. I'm sure when she goes to toilet, I can take over a little bit. So, oh, okay. This menopause delay. Oh my God. This is the thing. These days, the children, when they are growing up, they don't want to grow up. They don't want to get old. They want to stay young forever. You can't control nature. You can't do this. I think menopause delay, not good idea. You're messing about too much taking, what is, you take your ovaries, oi hoi hoi, oi hoi. Take your ovaries, put it back, oh God. No, no. Listen, thing is, best to have the children when you are young. I was young when I had my children, you know, early 20s. I had my kids, now I'm relaxing. What do? Relax, bit of Star Plus, bit of cha, no, make paratha for the family. Go on holiday with your uncle, you know, my husband. We have nice time. Got my grandkids, I give them back. Then I sleep, get over it. All the kiddies going crazy, I give them away, you know. So, this is the thing. If you wait till you do get older, you may got the problem. You may have the problem with having the baby, with getting a baby. And if you do, just listen to me, you know. Don't normally talk about this kind of thing, but I like to give advices. I like to give a bit of advice and help people always. I'm helping people. I'm a very quiet person, but I like to, you know, give a bit of wisdom and things to people. So if you have a problem, first of all, you got to change your style. You tell your husband, listen, you go this way, I go that way. Maybe when we get to do it, we change the style a little bit. Try from there, try from here, try different places and see, maybe we'll get a baby. If you don't, I know you got thing like IVF, all of this thing, and sometimes you may put thousands and thousands of pounds and maybe it work for you. You know, maybe it don't work. Got to try early, because you never know. Your body changes. You get older, your body changes. If I had my children at 45, would I be enjoying my time like this? Watching Star Plus, having cha all the time. No, I would not. I'd be changing the nappy, tired, you know. Even now, I get tired. I'm 60 plus. I got the problem in the good day, problem in the shoulder, put the tail malish on all the time. You got time for this if you got to change the nappy. Really? I don't think so. One thing you can do, you know, I'm very modern. I tell you this. I'm junk in my heart, very modern. One thing you can do, I read about this on the BBC News site. Freeze your eggs, freeze your ante. Put your ante in freezer. But I think you got to do it when you are under the 35. Otherwise, your ante, they get a bit like old, stale, you know, and they're not very good quality. If you want to put the good quality ante in the freezer and you want to do your career, you want to be doctor, you want to be dentist, lawyer, solicitor. If you want to do that and you want to delay, think, you do the planning. Planning, very important in your life. Planning. And you freeze your andas. Not in your house freezer, you can't do that. I mean, freezer, not, you can't put in like old ice cream box like I put the taniya. You don't do that. You go do in the hospital. They put in a special freezer over there. Freeze your andas. Then you know, I'm going to do my career. I will find a nice husband, a good husband. I'll ask mummy, daddy, go on the shadi.com. I'll get the biodata, I'll see if he's a good person, and I'll take my time. And I will get my money, I'll get my house, I'll be the independent lady. Then, get your under from the freezer, put it in, ready to go. This is what I think. Freezer, honestly, very good invention. I give your uncle some time, I can't be bothered to cook. I get him the dal from the freezer, he doesn't know it's from 2015, tastes very nice, eats it. Brilliant invention, I'm telling you. Juice the freezer. Freeze your andas. Excellent. Oh, I think Rina is coming around. Peshab kar liya? Oh, I don't think that was peshab. Okay, I'm going to go now. Hi, okay. Oh my God. Auntie G, what have you been doing? Right, you know what? I'm really sorry about that. I'm going to have to edit out later on what she's just done. But back to what I was talking about. Right, the right age to have a baby, okay? First of all, I'm going to play at you some messages from the sisterhood. I put the question out there about the right age to have a baby, and this is what some of my sisters have been saying.
The right age to have a baby is 19-20. I feel as if like you could focus on your career and have kids and then also manage your children. Because obviously you have energy, and then I mean, I had my children when I was young, and I feel as if like I've got more energy to spend time with them, and it's good for the health, and I just feel as if it's advisable to do that.
I had my first child at the age of 30, and I'd already done quite a lot of different sort of employment sort of stuff, and probably, yeah, I suppose started partially a career just before that, yeah, several years before that. And I was lucky enough to have my children and take them into work with me and carrying on my career, and I worked both my children. I went back to work after 3 months of having my first daughter and then 6 months with my second. So carried on doing what I wanted to do. But what was very interesting whilst experiencing that with myself of having children, there was a younger member of staff member who was about 20 something who actually fell pregnant and it was an accident. She happened to say that this was her words. That I'm going to have the baby because I don't think I'm going to have another chance. So she chose to have her daughter. And so she made that choice of doing it while she was younger. There was also a lot of talk within the gym, funny enough, which was my area of work at the time, about the best age. We had this conversation about the best age of when you can have kids. And it was a discussion and quite a thought from research that I'd read that actually, the younger you are, so whether you're in your mid-20s, almost the best, if when your body's at its fittest to recover, best because it bounces back quicker. And the older you get, the harder it is almost because your skin's lost its elasticity and things like that for you almost to regain that. But obviously, there's the peaks and the troughs and the weighing it up with work.
Okay, so hearing those messages, it kind of it does make sense to me personally, what was being said about being a younger mother. Your body can snap back into shape easier, and you've got more energy. And I totally do agree with that, because just to tell you a little bit about what I did, like I was 29 when I got pregnant, 30 when I had my first baby. And I got married at 28, so I became pregnant quite quick. And I think that was, I was ready. I was actually really ready. Everything kind of lined up. Like I'd got married, you know, so I had somebody that I felt that was worth spending my life with, who I wanted to be the father of my kids. And, you know, we had our own place and all these things lined up. The only thing that did not line up was my career. I wasn't where I wanted to be in my career. I felt like I should have been higher up in my career than I was at that time, but then I wasn't willing to wait like 5 more years to make that happen. And having then another child very quickly afterwards meant that I took like a couple of years out of my career. And then even when I went back, this was a difficult thing. Even when I went back, I felt like I had to just mentally take a step back from my career and put that second, because I had two very small children. You know, I didn't have my mum around the corner or anything who could help me look after my children. Even if she was around the corner, like she worked full time herself, so she couldn't really help me with that. I didn't want to pay like thousands of pounds in childcare to have somebody else look after the children while I was trying to build my career. So I had to take that step back. And even then, when I got pregnant with my third baby, which I really wanted to have three, and I knew, okay, I'm gonna have to take a step back again from my career, which was difficult because at that point in time, I was at a good point in my career and I was gaining momentum in the things I was doing. And it's quite hard actually seeing opportunities given to other people, because obviously they weren't on the verge of having a baby and they could work all hours of the clock. And I had two kids at home and another one on the way. It's like, I don't feel like I was taken that seriously. And I don't blame people, because it's obviously, you know, your priorities do change when you have a kid. So I feel like I was in that space where I didn't have my kids in my early 20s, which I probably should have done, and then I could have focused on my career, you know, and I didn't have them in my mid 30s when I could have built a career. I was just in kind of no man's land in a way, where I was still scrabbling around trying to build something for myself. And I would say to have them quite early, if things line up for you in terms of like where you live and, you know, financial stability and having a partner to have them with and stuff. Or you just, you know, you have them when you have made something of yourself a little bit in your career. And it's really hard. It is really hard because men don't really have to think about this that much. You know, yes, they have added responsibilities and stuff, but as a woman, body-wise and mentally and emotionally, this takes a lot out of you and life is never the same again. And when you go back to your career, it's all different because you do have to go home and, you know, somebody, your school, your kid's school phone, you drop, oh, they're not well. You've got to just go, sorry, I'm dropping this, and run home. Let's see what some other people are saying from the sisterhood. I've been sent some emails, so I'm going to read some emails out. Okay, so somebody has written this email to me. If you had asked me this question 4 years ago, I would have said, no, there isn't a right age to have a baby. And to some extent, I still sort of agree. I had my daughter just after my 26th birthday. I fell pregnant within 6 months of getting married, and it was a total surprise. I wasn't ready for kids. We weren't thinking about them, etc. So when we found out, it was a huge shock. My husband was so happy, but I was emotional as I didn't even get the chance to settle as a wife, moving from one city to another, settling into my new house and just enjoying being married. All of a sudden, it was about the pregnancy and the baby. Having my baby at that age impacted my career, yes, but it's more about how far I would travel for work, my work time, and how I would relax and have downtime when I got back from work, as I was up and about being a mom too. I was exhausted and still am. However, I have so many family members who've got married in late 30s and are now finding it difficult to conceive. There's so much we don't know about the human body, and women's bodies are just miracles. I mean, being able to grow another human being inside you is just amazing. You don't know how aging will have an impact on your fertility. Your career will always be there. Your fertility may not. So I would advise having kids as early as possible, then concentrate on your career afterwards. I mean, of course, be sure you're financially stable, etc., and you're in the right frame of mind to have kids. Even if you're not and you have a surprise pregnancy like me, you'll still be blessed and enjoy parenthood. I haven't got in the stage in my career where I wanted to be, but now after having two kids, I've got to the point where I actually don't care. I just want to spend as much time as possible with my kids while they're growing up. As they're growing up too quick, I can concentrate on my career. Once they both start school, maybe careers are not going anywhere. Yeah, so it's along the lines of what I just said to you guys. It's your careers aren't going anywhere, and sometimes it is very tough. You can't have it all, really. I honestly believe you cannot have it all. So let's see what somebody else says. Okay, this is another email. I had my first child at 28 years old. I was aware of my biological clock and felt the need to proceed before I reached 30. Being the eldest child of African parents, I also had a sense of duty to settle and start a family. I was in a long-term relationship, which I knew would lead to marriage. Also for me, I had always said to myself I would have a child once I secured my training contract to become a solicitor. The reason for this, I was concerned I would be discriminated against for having a family, a young child, and risk jeopardising my career before it really took off. 10 years later, I would still recommend that a woman should work on her career first. You have the drive, passion and commitment to focus on your work and not worry about your home life and children. Furthermore, you won't be competing with younger women with no responsibilities. Having said that, there are benefits. Bringing life experience to your work is a plus, along with many other significant things. Everyone's journey in life is different, and you should do what's right for you. Cool, yep, you got to do what's right for you. Absolutely. Here is another message here. I had my first when I was 29, so same age as me. Always said I wanted to have all my kids by 35, as I did not want to be chasing after little kids in my 40s. At 29, I had a career where I could afford to be out of work for a while, as I was entitled to good company mat pay and leave. I think what age you have children is a personal choice, depending on various factors, including affordability, maturity, etc. Yes, so again, are you financially stable to have kids, and are you in the right frame of mind? So that's coming across quite a lot. Okay. So I'm going to just read another one out to you. Okay. So I had my first baby when I was 28. We decided to have our first baby then because we didn't want one before then, and we wanted to enjoy ourselves on exotic holidays. I was a nanny for a private family before I had the children, so I knew a bit about what having children involved. I knew once I had my first baby, I would want more, so I'm glad I waited. I think I appreciated them more, and I do think that me and their dad would not have still been together if we'd had children younger. We were both too selfish enjoying our lives. Fair enough. Also, another thing I think is that, yes, you were too selfish enjoying your life and you deserve to do that. I mean, I personally think that me and my husband didn't go on enough holidays before we had the kids because, you know, we're desperate to have those holidays now. But because, like, we were quite newly married and stuff, even though we did know each other for 5 years before. So I guess we had that quality time together. But there's another thing that I think has an impact. Your flexibility as a person, are you stuck in your ways when you get into your late 30s? And I have seen people that I know that are very close to me, like family members and good friends, who are in their late 30s and, you know, either they've been trying to have kids for a while or they're not in a position where they could have kids, like they're single, you know, and they really want to start a family. But when I look at them, their life is so different from my life, and I just couldn't imagine having that time for myself now. Like, you know, if they want to get their nails done, get your nails done. If you want to get your hair done, go and get it done. If you want to get up in the morning, you take your time leisurely to get ready, you know. It's all about, you know, when I want to do things, I will do them. And that's absolutely fine because you deserve to do that, you know, everybody does. But I think the more you get used to that, that is going to be a big slap in the face when you have kids. That really is. And somebody told me, I can't remember, like somebody that works in mental health, they were just talking to me about a lot of women that use mental health services, like new moms. A lot of them are in their late 30s or early 40s, because that transition from life has always been about you. You can control everything. You know, if you want to go for that promotion at work, you go for it. You know, if you want to book an exotic holiday, you earn the money, you go for it. Whatever you want to do, you know, you want to get in shape and lose weight, join a gym, do that, you know. And I think having a baby is one of those things where it's like, it's not even up to you anymore. You and your needs are put to last. And even like your body, you're out of control of your own body, your own hormones when you have that baby, you know. And I guess that, like, mums who are younger have actually told me as well that, because, you know, they were younger, they just adapted really quickly, and it is harder to adapt to things as you get older, I think. But let's hear now from somebody else, and this is our older mum, and let's see what she has to say.
I had my first baby at 40 and then my second baby at 41. In terms of raising the children, everyone says I'm doing an amazing job because they keep saying, oh, it's because you're an older mum, you're an older mum. I definitely feel it in terms of my body, and if I could do things differently, I'd definitely have my babies in the 30s. But for me, it was important to be married. I was obsessed with not having children out of wedlock, and I don't know if that's because of my tradition and culture or religion, but it was something I strongly believed in. So I always wanted to be married before I had children, and I didn't get married till I was 39. Even then, I wasn't expected to get pregnant so soon. I thought I would struggle because I've had polycystic ovaries for most of my adult life. So it was a complete shock when I did find out I was pregnant on Boxing Day the same year I got married.
Right, so, you know, obviously she's got friends who are in a different stage of life now. And I guess for me, one of the nice things was that when I was pregnant with my first child, like, I had a couple of, I think I had one really close friend, and also my sister had babies not that long ago, like not that long before me. So, you know, I kind of had a little crew, and we all had little kids at the same time. And even now, like, I've got some really good friends who live near me, and that's the nice thing about moving to suburbia, because they also live around here. That's really nice. And we all have kids around the same age, and the kids always get on. They all get on, and they have a lovely time together. We can sit there, chill and chat when we all meet up. So that's really nice. And I think being at the same phase of life like that is a nice thing, because you can share those experiences. We're always asking each other for advice, even me and my sister. Obviously, I've got a younger sister as well. She hasn't got kids yet, but me and my middle sister, we do talk about mummy things a lot and kids. And so that is a really nice thing to be able to share with somebody. So I can imagine it must be difficult if you're at a very different phase in life as your other mum friends or family. So The other thing I was going to say is that I've noticed that I was 28 when I got married, right? And I've noticed a lot of 28-year-olds I know now are not married. They're not even thinking about it. Fair enough. Absolutely fine. You know, people who are in their early 20s are definitely not thinking about it. Well, some people are. Depends what kind of family you're from and stuff and whatever. And I've noticed more in London and the London area, people don't want to... They don't think it's normal to settle down and have kids in your mid-20s. Whereas I think, you know, when I lived in Coventry, that was quite normal to get married in your mid-20s and stuff. And I felt like I was late at 28 to get married. So I think people are just want to have a nice time. They're delaying it more. You know, nobody really wants to have that commitment of marriage and kids as young as like 23, 24. And some of, you know, my sister got married at 23. One of my really good friends got married at 23 or 24. And so I thought that that was the norm. Whereas now, I think if you're not married and you're 28, or forget about marriage, you might not even believe in marriage, forget that, right? So if you're basically single, okay, and you're in your late 20s, obviously then it's going to get take time to meet somebody. And if that's the way you want to do it, if you want to meet someone, but either whatever way you want to do it, to actually get to the point where you conceive a child and you are ready to have a child, it's going to take time. So then you'll be in your 30s at that point. And, you know, you just have to hope and pray that it all goes fine, because if you have issues, that's another year or so of trying to sort out issues. Or if some people I know were on birth control for years and years and years, they stop taking the pill, but then it takes time to get out of your system. So then you've got to accommodate for that. And it's really difficult. I think it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if there's any time that is a good time. I mean, me personally, I also, like one of the messages I read out, I wanted to have all my kids at 35 and I wanted to have three. So my husband was like, no, I don't think I want three kids, blah, blah, blah. So it took me time to like convince him, you know, but I finally did. But then I had to then put my target of 37 2 years back or forward to 37. So I was like, okay, I'm giving myself two more years. After 37, I don't want to have kids. That's when it starts getting a bit dangerous and stuff. And I was 37 when I had my last child. So I did notice a big difference in terms of tiredness levels, energy levels, and snapping back into shape or not. Not that I've ever snapped back into shape, but I did notice a big difference in that from being like 30 and 37. And I don't think I would have liked to do it any older than that. But that's my personal thing. And, you know, truly what I think is that everybody's path is different, okay? Everybody has their own path. There's not one way of doing things in life, because that would be really goddamn boring. And human beings are not built to lead their lives like robots. Okay, you got married, that's it, get married. Next one is have a baby, have two babies, have three babies, you know, and then retire at 60 and all this. No, like, we're not robots. Do you know what I mean? We have, everyone's got a different story to tell in life. And at whatever age you have a child, even if you are 50 and then you have a child at 50, I'm sure you have got something to offer that child. And life expectancy, I don't know, like, you know, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. I don't know. Somebody who's 50 and has a kid could live for like 30 more years, you know? So I think everybody has got, if you have love and energy and wisdom to give to a child, you've got every right to do that. And you've got every right to try and make that dream of having a family come true. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about obviously a big news story this week, which was the death of Kobe Bryant, which was like an absolute tragedy. Kobe Bryant and his beautiful 13-year-old daughter, and obviously several other people who were killed in their helicopter crash in California. So I don't know even how to... This is like such a tragedy, and I don't even know what his wife is going through. Like, as a mother, losing your husband and then losing a child, and then you still got to be strong for your other three kids, you know, she must be like in living hell right now. So honestly, my heart goes out to her. My heart goes out to obviously Kobe Bryant and his daughter that passed away. It's just horrific. One nice cute thing which people have been using to remember him, and lots of tributes have gone out, and you know, I've been looking at loads of different things on social media and stuff. There's some really beautiful pictures of him and his daughter and really lovely messages and stuff. But one thing that people have been talking about is this hashtag #girldad. Now, there was this little video clip that I watched the other day, and that's where this is stemmed from. So Kobe Bryant was speaking with Elle Duncan from the American broadcaster ESPN a few years ago, and in that interview he mentioned how much he loved being the father of four girls. And she was he said to this presenter who was pregnant at the time and having a girl, he said, "Girls are the best. I would have five more girls if I could. I'm a girl dad." Now, oh, that is so cute, you know. And this presenter was reduced to tears when she was recalling this interview that she did with him. And it was so cute. And I felt really emotional as well, because that is such a beautiful thing to say. And as a father of girls, you know, you want to hear that somebody's like, "I'm a girl dad. I love it. I love having daughters." Not like, "Oh yeah, we're going to try for a boy." And trust me, you know, like, I'm the mum of three girls, and I have heard all this stuff like, "Oh yes, you know, don't you want a boy for your husband? Isn't he gonna feel like, oh, he needs a little boy?" And you know, it's a very female household. Yes, it is. But my husband as well, I don't know if he would define himself as a girl dad, because he can be quite harsh with the kids. Like, he's very tough love. You know, he wants the kids to be strong. He's like, you know, not like, "Oh, I'm gonna pamper you, my little princess." He's like, "No. Take the bins out, kids. Let's get to Taekwondo. You're going to learn how to defend yourself. You're going to learn how to, like, kick the shit out of someone if you need to." They're like, "Oh, daddy, you know, I hurt my leg." It's like, "Oh, shake it off. You'll be fine." That's the kind of dad he is. And I think that they need that, because I probably would be pampering them a little bit more. So to balance me out, you need that. And then that's, like, he's got a very masculine energy. And I think that the girls do need that in their lives as well, because sometimes, like, you know, mums and daughters can go on and on and on, can't we? If you are a mum to a daughter, like, you know, women, we can go on and on and on. And like, my husband, he just, like, shuts people down. "You're doing this, that's that." You know, he's got that kind of energy, and that's really nice. And I think that they do need that. And just to kind of encourage girls to say, you can do whatever you want to do, and you can be who you want to be. And you know, if you want to be sporty, if you want to be, you know, super smart, you can do all these things, and don't let anyone tell you that you can't. And that's what I love about this hashtag girl dad now, because a lot of fathers on social media are sharing pictures of them and their kids, their daughters, and just to kind of say how much they love being a girl dad, which I think is a beautiful thing, really. And yeah, may Kobe Bryant and his beautiful daughter rest in peace. Sad. And it just makes me think that, you know, you never know when it's your time. And each of us really should think about leaving a legacy. I think that's really important, because, and that legacy doesn't have to be anything big. You don't have to be like, "Oh, well, I need to go and dig wells in Africa because I've got to leave a legacy." You know, no, not like, "Oh, I need to be the CEO of this and I'm going to kill myself to do it." If you want to do that, you do that. But if you're not into that and you don't want to do that and you're not that way inclined, your legacy doesn't even have to be that. Your legacy could just be kindness, acts of kindness. Did you spread love and kindness as a person when you were alive? Did you, were you a productive person? And that can be productive in your work. That can be productive. You did creative things. You did nice things. You did nice things for the world. You changed someone's life in a nice way because you listened to them when they needed you to. You know, you showed them some kindness. That is underrated. And I'm telling you, that in itself is a legacy. So I've come to the end of episode one of my podcast. And I hope that you have enjoyed listening to my dulcet tones. They're not dulcet tones, I'm croaky as hell today. But thank you for tuning in so much. And if you want to get involved, if you want to be here with me and have a chat with me, please do. Please get in touch with me. Just get in touch with me on social media, wherever I share this podcast, and also on iTunes. You can get in touch with me on there. That's where you can listen to the podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes and Podbean. And I will be speaking to you again very soon. Take care. Thank you.